The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem and sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered, "Foxes have dens and birds have the sky, have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand on the plow and looks what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
One of the most boring jobs I've ever had in my life was also the job in which I was most successful. As an intern in an engineering department, I was always given the most simplest of tasks. Photocopy or scan these documents, input this data, organize an office party. With such simple tasks, there was no possibility of failure. And that's why I was most successful in this job. But when I began to be given more responsibility and when I had to deal with more complex engineering solutions and more real-life problems, then difficulties emerged, you know, and there were things that I was not able to fulfill. And when you're dealing with complex world situations, the possibility of failure is ever present. Now, I mention this because I think that distinction between an intern, what an intern does, and what a professional does is relevant in trying to understand what our gospel is trying to say to us today. So the intern is given simple tasks. And with simple tasks, you're most likely to succeed. It's just easy to do. But although these simple tasks are easily accomplished and you may feel successful, they're not particularly rewarding. You may end up feeling quite bored. The professional, on the other hand, has to deal with real-life situations, real-life problems. And because of that, has to expend a lot of energy, thought, and time, and effort in order to come. Alas, the technology is somewhat against me today. But with that comes the possibility of failure. But although failure is ever present, perhaps because we have to expend more energy, more time, more effort, it is just more rewarding. Our disciples in our gospel reading today are no longer interns. They are not given simple tasks to complete. Our disciples today are sent ahead of Jesus. Jesus is not holding their hands anymore. And Jesus sends them to Samaria. Samaria is the enemy nation. And it is here that the disciples experience great difficulty. Unlike previous experiences, they are not received with warmth or hospitality here at all. In fact, they are almost told that they want them gone. They are to be sent away. And dismayed with the hostile reception that they receive in this enemy territory, the disciples want to call down fire from heaven to consume this town. Not only do the disciples fail in their mission, the disciples fail as disciples. They fail to live out the values of Christ. It is one thing to fail in what we are to do. It's another thing to fail as who we are meant to be. So I think it is in this context where one is no longer an intern that the words of Jesus today can be understood. No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. These are words not addressed to the intern in Christian life. Rather, these words are expressed to those who want to know Jesus intimately, those who want to follow him closely, those who want to love him deeply. And that's why these words are a radical summons. And because of that, these words are addressed not to the intern, but to the mystic, to those who desire a deep union with Christ. It is the mystic who then considers what weighs us down from our past? What distracts our vision? What constricts our hope for the future? And the mystic, in trying to set their eyes fixed on God, then discovers interior freedom, the kind of freedom that we heard in our second reading today. But here is the catch, my friend. The task at hand that Jesus gives to the mystic, that of looking forward, is one which presents us with the possibility of real failure. Because who among us here today, after giving our hearts to Jesus, after saying that we have converted to Christ, have not looked back? Who among us here has not been distracted by other loves? Who among us here has not been weighed down by their own past? But here, even here, is grace, because with the possibility of a difficult task at hand, with the ever-present possibility of failure, we learn to develop the most important virtue in our Christian life, and that is humility. Our utter dependence on God, our ability to look forward towards God, is not something we can manufacture by ourselves. It's not some technical expertise to be learned. It is pure grace. It is God who allows us to do this. And learning that we are limited, that we sometimes look behind, look away from God towards other loves, that we need God's mercy, is putting on the value of Christ, putting on Christ's robe of humility. and humility is the only way to the heart of God. Jesus replied to the person who said, "Let me go home first and bury my father," confronts me a little personally today. Just a few weeks ago, I went home because my father was critically ill. Even there in the hospital, and although it was difficult grace, there was grace. Seeing my father in the hospital, seeing Christ in the hospital, in the people who cared for him, seeing Christ even in my own self. It seems to me that caring for our parents cannot be against what Christ invites us today to do. And I might even want to protest with Christ today, because Christ says, it is only those who look ahead who will do the kingdom of God, who will accomplish the kingdom of God. But Lord, if you are indeed everywhere, where can I look where you are not present?